Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I want to thank God today for His goodness and His love and His mercy. And today I want to share with you a message from God's Word. I want to talk to you about something that is needful, something that God has dealt with me to share with you today. But you and I have an appointment, every last one of us, male, female, young, or old, every last one of us have an appointment, and the Word of God makes it clear, the experience of our lives and what we see makes it clear, the truth of it, but every last one of us have an appointment with death. In Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Folks, death is coming, but be of good cheer, for Jesus Christ has already conquered death. Ha! That's true. Death is coming, but you can be of good courage, you can be of good cheer, because Jesus has already overcome or conquered death. And if Jesus is living inside you, and you by faith have believed upon Jesus for salvation, for forgiveness of your sins, and by His Spirit He lives in you, and you're living for Him, and you're walking with Him, and you're in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, then folks, even though there's an appointment coming, you can be of good cheer because Jesus has overcome death. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said in John 11:25, He said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." We have an appointment, you and I. The appointment is a really good translation of that Greek word that's there in the original text. We literally have an appointment with death. We have reservations. You probably think, boy, this is morbid. No, this is reality, folks. This, believe it or not, is a message of victory. All of us have a reservation with death. We have an appointment made for death. But the thing is, most of us, every once in a while, God will inform somebody about the scheduled departure date. But most of us haven't been informed of when this appointment is. But we all have a reservation. We all have an appointment, and it's literally waiting us. You can't avoid it. You cannot avoid death. You must face it. And the only way that you can face it with victory is if Jesus is in your life. Now, let me say this. You know, sometimes you can delay it, but it's still coming. Hezekiah in the Bible, people point out Hezekiah. Hezekiah in the Bible got some more years to his life. But before you, and some people will be quick to point out Hezekiah's evil son, yeah, but if he had died, he wouldn't have had that son. But I'm going to tell you, Josiah was also in that line that was born after that extension of life that God gave him. And Josiah was a good king, and not only that, but through that line led straight to Joseph and the stepfather of Jesus, and quite literally, it was God's will. You can see that it was God's will that the man lived, Hezekiah lived, to bring forth that offspring that would be in the direct lineage of Jesus, the Messiah. All right. Sometimes God will let us brush death, and sometimes God will extend our time. But in Hezekiah's case, you can see it was really a trial of his faith, and God was really wanting him to live. It was apparently God's ordained will that he live and that he bring forth that line, okay? Would he have lived if he hadn't prayed? No. So God can extend your life. But then again, in the end, Hezekiah died. We're all going to die. People spend all this money and energy and prolonging their life. Some people, like, I remember the guy who invented jogging, bless his heart, he died jogging. You can live healthy and exercise and eat right, and it'll extend some years in your life. But in the end, you still have an appointment. The only way that you can have victory over this enemy of man, and don't fool yourself, death is an enemy. In fact, the Bible calls him the last enemy to be defeated was death. He is an enemy of you and I, but the only way that you can overcome this enemy and have victory over this enemy is to have the resurrection and the life as being in your life. In other words, if you've got Jesus inside of you, if you've got the light of the world, the light of life living in you, then folks, there is no real death for the child of God. Your body might go to sleep, but even it's going to raise again someday. Your body might sleep, but Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And it's not a defeat for a child of God. They're asleep in Christ. And according to 1 Thessalonians 4, those that are asleep in Christ, when he comes back, he'll bring with him. And they'll rise first before those that are alive come up to meet the Lord in the air. John 10:10 said, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." Some people say, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'll start living." Folks, I'm here to tell you, when Jesus came in your life, you started living that abundant life, and death lost its power over you. Saying, "Well, I won't die." What's that mean? Everybody dies, folks. You might die in your flesh, but spiritually you won't die, and even your flesh is going to come up in victory someday, because Jesus is the first fruits of the first resurrection. And if we have faith in him, even we and our bodies will come up. They won't come up the way they are now. They'll come up in a glorified manner, the way his body was when he raised from the dead. You see, folks, we can have that life of God in us, and even though we have an appointment, still have victory. That's people that live religious lives, and they live religiously, and they have religion in their lives, but they've never been born again. And there are those that go to church and do their devotions, and they go through their rituals and their devotions, but they don't know Jesus personally as their living Savior, supernaturally living inside them. And they don't have devotion or love for God, or the love, that kind of love, and his love abiding and living in them. What they have is devotions. God doesn't want your devotions. He wants your devotion. All right? Matthew 7:18, verse 21 says, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, it's cut down, and cast into the fire." Folks, what kind of fruit you bring forth is important. What kind of spiritual fruit are you bringing? Do people know you're a Christian by the way you live? Is it evident what you are? Now, I'm not talking about getting some kind of prideful, Pharisaic attitude. "Well, praise God, I am holier than these others." No, no, no. You misunderstand it. But what kind of fruit is coming? Do you love? Do you forgive instead of hate? Do you do good? Do you overcome evil with good? It says, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire." Verse 20, "Wherefore, by the fruit their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those that does the will of the Father which is in heaven are the ones that are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you just say, Lord, Lord, and you're religious and you go through devotions, it's not enough. You've got to have Jesus. You've got to be sold out to Jesus. You've got to belong to Jesus. Be bought by His blood. Oh, hallelujah. By the precious life that was in His blood, it's bought you and taken you out of the slavery of sin, and now you belong to Jesus, and you've got life. And then you start changing, folks. I tell you what, you're a new creature. You're a new creation in Jesus when you're born again. Suddenly, you don't want to sin. You don't want to bring forth evil. You want to bring forth good. A fountain can't bring forth sweet and bitter waters at the same time. It'll bring forth one or the other, according to the Word of God. You can't curse me and your neighbor and gossip and tear down people and talk about them and complain about them and then praise God with the next breath. Something's wrong. Some people do that, but there's something wrong. The Bible says there's something wrong. You can't bring forth sweet and bitter at the same time. And if you bring forth bitter, you don't belong to Him. Oh. Mm. You see, it's vital that you're really ready to meet Jesus. That you have more than just religion. That you have more than just devotions. For someday, maybe today, you might have to meet Him. You have an appointment. I have an appointment. We all do. And if you've got Jesus in your life, you'll want to live for Him. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. And not only that, if you have His love and that love is part of you, then you're going to love your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. You're going to forgive instead of judge. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. A lot of people quote 8 and 9, but they never get to 10, but 10's part of it too. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're His workmanship. We're not saved by our works, but folks, if we're saved by faith and by His grace, it's the gift of God, and He saved us, then He created us unto good works. We're His workmanship. He's remade us. And God has ordained before we ever are born again that we should walk in these good works. Whose works? God's works. The works of God. We can't even... Hey, folks, if there's good coming out of your life, give God... The Bible says all that good comes from God, comes from above. You need to give Him the glory and the thanksgiving for it, that He loved you enough to bring good through your life. You can't even take credit for it. Somebody said, I've got this gift, and I got that gift, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and look at me. Folks, don't look at me. Look at Jesus. Because the good that's coming comes from Jesus. Any mistakes, I'll take credit for, and God forgive me for mistakes. But the good comes from You, Lord. Remember when the rich young ruler came and asked Jesus, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? He wanted some devotional to do, some good thing, but it's not so much things. It's faith in Him and being sold out to Jesus. It's belonging to Him and having Him fill your life. It's not so much some devotion you can do. It's having devotion to God. Jesus told him to go and give away his carnal treasures and give to the poor and follow Him, and he'd have treasures in heaven. Now, he said it like this three chapters before this in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man, anybody, you, me, any of us, will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. First of all, you got to deny your flesh. You got to deny yourself. If you want God to give you treasures, if you want God to bless you, you've got to deny your own self. You've got to be willing to do this for Jesus. He blesses you. God blesses you. But you've got to quit becoming a self-blesser. That's selfish. We must deny ourselves, take up, so see, he said, take up his cross, take up our own cross. We say, well, take up the cross of Jesus. No, he took up his cross. We take up our cross. What's that mean? A cross is to die on. We die daily to our flesh, to our carnality, and then we follow Jesus. We empty ourselves out of flesh by praying and surrendering to God, and he fills us back up with Jesus. This is life. Folks, there's an appointment coming. Are you ready? Are you following him? Have you denied yourself? Have you taken up your cross? Are you following Jesus? Will you be a disciple of his? Are you ready? You must be ready to meet him. Because one way or the other, death will come. It's surely going to come. Death is coming. You can put it off. You can fear it. You can live. You can have a terrible life always fearing death. Or you can live life by having Jesus in your life. It takes the fear of death away. Oh, I know all of us dread it. I don't know anybody who says, oh, goody, I get to die today. I don't know anybody that does that. But the reality is that the terror, the fear is gone because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he lives. How can you be afraid of it if he's living inside you? I know that nobody wants it. There's a dread that comes. Nobody wants to die. Jesus didn't want to die. He didn't want to suffer what he did. He didn't want to die. Nobody. Claude Ely used to sing, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to die. I thank the good Lord I had the new birth. Don't want to leave all my friends on earth. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. That's the truth. But folks, let me tell you, there's hope even in death if you're in Jesus. There is hope. There is a resurrection. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. There is hope. There is a heaven to look forward to. People quit preaching about heaven and hell, but there's a hell to shun. There's a heaven to look forward to. That's the preaching of Jesus. Heaven is real. And hell is real. And Jesus preached about both of them. In fact, he preached more about hell than he did heaven. Why? Because he didn't want anybody to go there. We live in a time when religious folks are rejecting the idea of hell. Some people want heaven, but they don't want hell. But the Hades. But the reality is that if you don't, if you believe that hell isn't real, then you don't believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about. If you don't believe hell is real, then basically what you're saying is about half of what Jesus preached was wrong. You're rejecting Jesus and what he said. Folks, in Bethsaida and Capernaum and Chorazin, they loved Jesus' fishes and loaves. I mean, they loved the miracles. They loved the healings. They loved that. But they rejected his message. And because they rejected the message, they really rejected Jesus. And because they rejected Jesus, they rejected the Father. And Jesus would end up, after doing the most mighty miracles of his ministry in those places, he would stand over them and speak woes over them. Such a woe. And I'm going to tell you, those places, they dried up and they died. They're archaeological digs today because Jesus spoke a woe of them. And Jesus spoke a woe over them because they rejected the gospel. They rejected the message of the kingdom. They rejected Jesus. They loved Jesus to come and heal them. They loved the miracles, but they rejected the message. And folks, he was the living message. He was the living word. It's dangerous to reject the word. When we say that something like Jesus preached like that wasn't real, basically what we're saying is Jesus didn't know what he's talking about. We're rejecting him. Now, oh, by the way, in case you don't think that's serious, him speaking those woes, there was a certain blind man that needed to be healed in Bethsaida, and Jesus went into town, and he led him out, and he healed him outside town, and after he healed him, he told him, don't go in, don't tell anybody in the town that I did it, don't go back to town, don't tell them anything, go somewhere else. In other words, don't even bless them to know that I healed you here. He refused to bless them once a woe was spoken over them. It's dangerous to just reject the word of God. Hell is real. You have an appointment coming, and we're going to wind up in one of two places, either with the Lord in heaven or in a place called hell. Now, folks get upset. They'll try to build great theological structures trying to prove there's no hell. But folks, you're basically calling Jesus a liar. Jesus made it really clear. In Luke 16, verse 19, very, very clear. There was a certain rich man, he says that, and there was Lazarus. Gave him a name. There was a beggar by the name of Lazarus and a certain rich man. Verse 19, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass when the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, or paradise, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, in Hades, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Lazarus looked like he didn't have anything, but to the naked eyes he didn't, but he had something that the rich man didn't have. He had the Lord. Woo! Sometimes it looks like you and I don't have anything to the world's way of looking at it, but I'm here to tell you, we have something that money can't buy. People try to buy it with money, but you can't buy it with money. Jesus already paid for it with his own life. It's a gift, but it takes committing and giving yourself away to the Lord. In hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, he remembered who Lazarus was. He had memory. Folks, let me tell you something. This is a little rough, but if you're hearing me right now and you miss Jesus and you reject Jesus and you walk over Jesus and you wind up in hell. Because if you wind up in hell, you've done it by rejecting Jesus Christ. He's given it all for you. All you have to do is believe Him by faith, receive it, and He'll give you new life. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. There's only saving power, there's keeping power. My Lord, He'll bring life into you every day that you live. But if you just are bound and determined to reject Him and go on, if you're bound and determined to bring forth rotten fruit, evil fruit, bitter waters, eat up with bitterness, if you're bound and determined to go to hell, folks, there's an appointment coming for us all. And at that point, it's decided. Some might disagree with that, but the Bible does makes it very clear. It's decided. It said the rich man found himself in hell, and Lazarus found himself carried away into paradise. They both had their memory. They both had their feelings. One inherited a great gift, and the other reaped his wages. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I'm going to point out something. If you're hearing this right now, and you wind up in hell, you remember this. You have your memories. You'll remember when the Word of God, you don't have to remember my name. I don't care if you remember my name or not. I want you to hear the Word, though. The Word. I'm just the mailman. God wrote the Word. The Word came from God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you'll just hear the Word of God and believe on Jesus, there's power to save in that. But folks, if people that wind up in hell, they remember all the chances, they remember the preaching, they remember it all. I think memory is going to be probably the worst torment there. and the thought of what could have been, what could have so easily have been, and missed. We all have an appointment. You and I both have an appointment. You might be young, you might be old. It might come today, it might come tomorrow, it might come in 50 years. One way or the other, it's coming. We all gonna die. But what's it gonna be like afterwards? Forgive this expression. I'm not cursing in saying this, but literally, what is there in hell that you want anyway? What possible reason would people, first of all, want to live without the love of Jesus in this life and live in hell in the next? I don't understand. Is it really worth the pleasures of this world? God will give you pleasures above anything the world can give you. Is it worth your hate? Is it worth your lust? Is it worth your grudge? What does it profit you if you gain the whole world but you lose your own soul? The most precious thing you have, you're throwing away. What good is it? You have an appointment. The richest man on earth has an appointment, and he cannot get away from it. And I'm sorry if you believe in purgatory, you're not going to find the Bible. That's a latter thought that came long after the Bible was written. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. It's not in the Word. If you miss heaven, let me tell you something. It's either heaven or it's hell. People try to preach any way you want to, but the Word says it very plainly. We will die, and after that, the judgment. It's plain. Nobody's going to get you out. Nobody's going to pray you out. If you wind up in hell, you're there until the second resurrection. Then you stand before God, and you're explained very in detail why you're going to the lake of fire, and then you go. But if you've got Jesus, if you've got the resurrection and the life, then you've got hope. Woo! You've got life. He'll make you overcomers. Your souls will never die, and the body will come up again. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as though as others which have no hope. Those others have no hope, but you don't need to be that way. You don't need to sorrow because you have hope. Those that are have died in Christ, that they are asleep in Him. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. They're with Him right now. He'll bring them with Him. The body's asleep, but they're with the Lord. And God, according to this scripture, brings them with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Jesus is going to shout with the voice of the archangel. The archangel is going to speak. And with the trumpet of God, the trumpet of God, God's trumpet is going to sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I just want to say this very quickly. I'm trying to get to the end here, but when once upon a time, paradise, before Jesus died and resurrected, was in the center of the earth, Abraham's bosom. But when Jesus resurrected, He took the captives up to heaven. And now when we pass from this body, and by the way, death is not an end, it's a separation. You're a body, soul, and spirit. The spirit, the Bible says, will go back to God. It's a part of God to go back to God. The soul is who you are. And when you die, when your body dies, there's a separation. Death is a separation of your soul and your spirit from your body. And that soul will go to wherever it's going to go. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Luke 23, 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. Remember what the man said on the cross? Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus went into paradise and he preached to the souls or the spirits that were in prison. But he led captivity captive. And when he came up, he took them into heaven. And my Lord, now to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You can have hope, folks, even in death. Death is not an end. We might suffer and we might hurt at times, but let me tell you something. Not only is God, and not only is there glory to God to empower us here in the anointing and the presence of God to help us here and to heal and to bring goodness here, but there's a greater glory waiting someday. Your body someday is going to raise, and that new body that's going to come up, it's not going to hurt, it's not going to get sick, it's not going to get old, and it's not going to die, it's not going to lust, it's not going to be my God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. All of us, though, that are part of this covenant, all of us that are in Christ are going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that law was nailed to the cross with Jesus. Our sins were nailed to the cross with Jesus. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? We have victory through Jesus Christ. We have victory through Jesus Christ. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready, Lord, to walk in Jerusalem just like John. I want to be ready. There's an appointment coming. You and I have an appointment. It isn't the works that we've done that's going to impress God, but it's the works that Jesus Christ did on the cross that saves us, that we have imputed unto us when we believe on Him. We have His righteousness, His justification imputed on us when we believe on Him by faith. We're saved by faith. It's what Jesus did on the cross. The victory is the Lord's. The victory is the Lord's, and we have victory through the Lord. It belongs to Jesus, not death. Grave, give up. Death, give up. Woo! When Jesus said, it is finished, the grave, death, had to give up. And there's coming a day when the resurrection and the life is going to appear in the cloud. And my Lord, the trumpet of God is going to sound, the voice of the archangel, grave, give up. Death, give up. Right now, and right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, sin, give up. Oppression, give up. Sickness, give up. Jesus Christ is here to set you free. Jesus Christ is here. You feel His presence. Can you feel His presence? His presence is here right now to set you free. I don't care what bondage there is. Jesus has already paid the price to set you free. His power, the power of the Holy Spirit, is moving right now. By faith, you call on Him right now, there's liberty. There's liberty. There's liberty, there's liberty, there's liberty. If you're listening to my voice and you're really not born again, if you call upon His name and believe on Jesus, He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to come in your life. He wants to be real in you. Folks, this is real. If it wasn't real, I wouldn't bother with it. In 1983, I needed something, and something more than religion. I needed something that was real. And when Jesus came to me and revealed Himself to me, I found Him to be real. And now almost 20, just a few days, be 21 years later, I'm here to tell you, He's just as real. He's just as precious. Oh, God, You're so good to me. Oh, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your love. He gives us victory through Jesus Christ. God gives us victory through Jesus Christ. My Lord, sin's got to let go. Oppression has got to let go. Even sickness has got to let go. And one of these days, even though it's appointed unto all of us to die, folks, all of us has got an appointment coming. But mine to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. If you're in Jesus and Jesus is in you, He's going, my Lord, God's going to carry you. Woo, the angels will carry you right into His presence. You know what? Even the body. Whoo, death's going to have to give up that. Because there's coming a day, and I don't think it's very far away, when that trumpet's going to sound, and death will give up. Ooh, and I'm going to fly to be with Jesus. If I'm dead or I'm alive, it don't matter. I'm going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, 1/1000th of a second, I'm going to be changed. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. It's all about if Jesus is in your life. If He, oh, Lord, my Lord, Jesus said you must be born again. Are you born again, friend? Are you born again? You and I both have an appointment with death. Ready or not, we have an appointment with death. Are you ready to meet it? Somebody said, I've got all the time in the world. You might have an aneurysm. You might have something wrong with your heart you don't even know about. You might walk out and literally, you might get in your car and somebody hits you head on. You don't know. My Lord, you don't know. You don't know. None of us knows. But we can know that it is well with our soul. We can know and we can be ready because Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and He's living inside us. Are you ready? Are you ready? In the name of Jesus today, if you're not ready, I challenge you to call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Believe on Him because He loves you and He'll forgive you. He'll come into your life. He'll change you forever. My Lord, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? You can be through Jesus. Till next time, this is James Coldart. I love you. This is for Warriors of God Christian Community. God bless you.